From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The month of May brought a record-setting outbreak of tornado activity in the central and southeastern U.S. Between May 17th and the end of the month, there were more than 300 confirmed tornadoes, at least 8 per day for a record-breaking 12 straight days. There's also been record flooding in the Midwest, and now it's hurricane season. Federal forecasters are calling for a near-normal level of hurricane activity this year, but the first named storm formed almost 2 weeks before the official start of hurricane season. It all begs the question, is there any such thing as normal anymore? And how much of this extreme weather is tied to human-caused climate change? Jennifer Francis is a senior scientist at Woods Hole Research Center and an expert on the links between climate change, the jet stream, and extreme weather. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Let's start with tornadoes. I know this has been an area of uncertainty, maybe even scientific debate when it comes to the possibility of a link between global warming, climate change, and tornado activity. What do we or don't we know at this point about whether climate change is making tornadoes either more frequent or more intense?
Tornadoes are a particularly tricky weather phenomenon to understand how they're changing or not over time. The reasons for that are that going back just a couple of decades, we really didn't have good ways to measure whether they occurred or not and where they occurred. Oftentimes they form in areas where there are very few people living, in the Midwest, sections of huge farms, so they may occur at night and no one would see them. So our records going back into the previous, say, 30 or 40 years are really quite sketchy. So that makes it really tough to know whether there's been any changes lately. But there have been some breakthroughs on that. It looks like they are tending to form in clusters more. So when we do get the ingredients all coming together to form a tornado, we tend to get a bunch of them. And it also seems as though they are shifting their domain eastward. So rather than the sort of traditional tornado alley up through Kansas and Nebraska, we're seeing a lot more of them in, say, Tennessee and places farther east. So there's a lot to be learned still, but there's most likely going to be some change just because we are changing the atmosphere so much. There's a lot more heat in the atmosphere, and there's a lot more moisture in the atmosphere. And that moisture is fuel for all sorts of storms, even tornadoes.
Are there perhaps fingerprints of human-caused climate change that you see not so much in the tornadoes themselves, but in the broader weather patterns that we've seen over the past month or so, that, you know, to you kind of say, well, this is the kind of thing we might expect as a result of climate change?
Absolutely. And this year has been, I think, what might turn out to be a classic example. We've had the same jet stream pattern in place basically ever since the middle of the winter. You might remember the bomb cyclones that formed in the Midwest this year and created a lot of flooding.
Right.
You know, the previous year we were talking about bomb cyclones along the East Coast. So the jet stream pattern is very different from what it was last year. But what we're seeing is this very persistent pattern. And that persistence is really a key word because that's one of the ways that we expect to see weather patterns changing, especially related to the warming Arctic. And in this particular situation this year, there has been a very strong ridge or a northward swing in the jet stream over near Alaska. And that may not seem relevant to tornadoes in the middle of our country, but that big ridge there, we think, was strengthened by the fact that sea ice has been at record low levels all winter long in the Bering Sea area around Alaska. It strengthened that ridge. And whenever ridges get very strong and the jet stream gets very wavy, we know that those weather patterns tend to be very tough to move along. And that's exactly what we've seen. But just getting back to the bigger picture, it's not just about tornadoes in the Midwest. We've seen a lot of other unusual weather patterns in the last several weeks that are all connected to the same very persistent pattern. You'll remember the heavy rains that happened in California just a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Several feet of snow in the Sierra. There was snowfall in many parts of the Rockies in Colorado. And the heat wave that's happening in the southeast. So all of these things are connected together by this very persistent large-scale pattern in the jet stream.
Well, Jennifer Francis, let's turn our attention to something a little bit different, and that's hurricanes. We're in the first days of the official hurricane season, but there's already been one named storm, Andrea. Forecasters are calling for a near normal level of activity, which means 9 to 15 named storms, about half of those becoming hurricanes and 2, 3, 4 of those becoming major hurricanes. But I have to wonder, when we hear something like near normal, we've also been hearing in the past few years things like this is the new normal because of climate change. I mean, how do we even define what is normal hurricane activity?
Right. So the hurricane forecasters are only able to talk about how many storms are expected to occur, and that depends on many factors. Some of them are opposing each other, so sometimes it's really hard to know which one is going to end up being the dominant factor or not. And so I think they're hedging their bets a little bit this year, because we do have a couple of things going on. There's a weak to moderate El Nino right now. It's expected to continue through the summer. Generally, when there's an El Nino, we see a reduction in the number of hurricanes in the Atlantic. But we also have a very large area of much warmer than normal ocean temperatures all the way from the middle of the tropical Atlantic over to Florida and up the East Coast. So if a hurricane does come along and it enters that area where the waters are so warm, it will have plenty of fuel to work with. So this should keep everyone's antenna up along the East Coast and in the Gulf of Mexico, because that fuel is sitting there ready to go.
Jennifer Francis, I mean, to your point that they may be hedging their bets, this is not necessarily the strongest of forecasts. A 40% chance of near normal activity with a 30% chance of above average and a 30% chance of below average. And those competing factors, like you said, are part of that. But I wonder, in those two factors, I mean, warmth in the tropical Atlantic, warm ocean temperatures, a pretty clear link to climate change there, that we've been seeing ocean temperatures rising dramatically.
Right.
But what about with the El Nino? Is there anything to suggest that El Nino conditions, which is warm water in the Pacific, is becoming more frequent, stronger, anything like that?
I'm not aware of any definitive studies that have projected a distinct change in the frequency or strength of El Niños. But when they do occur, and it does seem as though we've had a few more than usual the last few years, we tend to see this effect on our hurricane season in that it tends to reduce them because it creates shear in the atmosphere, which means that the winds change direction and speed with height. And so those winds, when they change with height like that, tend to rip storms apart or prevent them from forming. So it's good to have an El Nino sitting out there this year. That might help prevent some storms from forming, at least. That's not good for the Pacific area. The Eastern Pacific should probably see more storms than normal in that area because of that extra warm water.
Well, Jennifer Francis, if we back out a little bit from this year's hurricane season forecast to hurricane activity in general, I mean, this has been an area where there's less uncertainty than perhaps with tornadoes, but not completely settled science. Where does the science stand at this point in terms of what we think are the likely impacts of climate change on Atlantic hurricane activity? What are we expecting to see going forward?
So there has been some recent research that makes some very direct connections between the dots. And two of these are, we expect to see and have already seen an increase in the strongest storms, so Cat 3 and above. So that is clear. But overall, the number of storms has not increased definitively, and it's not expected to increase in the future. The other factor that we've been able to document is the tendency for storms to intensify more rapidly. So think about Michael last year, how it really went from just a disturbance to a Cat 3 overnight. We saw the same thing happen with Florence, and many hurricanes and typhoons out in the Pacific have been exhibiting this same tendency. So those are the two things that are very clearly connected to climate change. It makes all kinds of sense because we have all this extra energy now in the atmosphere and in the ocean. So once a storm does form, it has a lot of fuel to work with if all the other conditions are right. But that number of storms overall is one of the things that's still not clear. And maybe it won't be.
Another thing that we've seen with hurricanes really just in the past, you know, 2-3 years is also the dramatic amounts of rainfall that some of these large storms have produced. How clear is the link between climate change and the amount of rainfall that comes from these hurricanes?
That is another very clear connection. And it's not just tropical storms, it's all storms. So we're seeing a very clear uptick in the frequency of heavy downpours, heavy precipitation events. And, you know, it's very easy to understand this one because we now have 7% more water vapor in the atmosphere than we did, say, back in the 1970s. And one of the things that water vapor can do is condense into liquid form and fuel these storms so that they can produce even more rainfall. The other interesting aspect with respect to hurricanes, and we're thinking about Florence and Harvey as great examples, is there's now evidence there's a more of a tendency for hurricanes to move more slowly and perhaps stall in place. So it could be that we see more of these Harvey and Florence-like storms that reach the coast, sit in one spot, and dump, you know, up to 4 or 5 feet of rain.
Well, Jennifer Francis, another thing that you've written about in the past and that I know has been a topic of discussion, not necessarily the most settled science, is the possibility that climate change could change the likely trajectories, the paths that some of these storms take. What's the thinking there?
Yeah, so that really is sort of cutting edge research right now. I think, you know, part of that, what I was just talking about with storms tending to move more slowly and perhaps even stall, that's one aspect of the tracks that are changing. Another aspect, I think, comes into play, especially with late season storms. And as the oceans are warmer, that means storms can, or tropical storms can survive longer into, say, October. And, you know, we think about Sandy, which was basically on Halloween. Michael was also very late in the season. So as we see more hurricanes exist in later months like that, we increase the likelihood of interactions with the jet stream. And when we get these strong interactions with the jet stream, and if that jet stream is also becoming more wavy, which is what we expect to see, just like the pattern that has been in place for the last several weeks, then it increases the likelihood of seeing very bizarre tracks like Sandy took, where it started to curve in a normal way out to sea, and then instead it took this sharp left turn into New Jersey. Florence did a similarly unexpected thing. Instead of making that right turn and heading off into the ocean and not hurting anyone, it instead stubbornly stayed on a westward path and went straight into South Carolina and North Carolina. So those types of bizarre tracks we expect to see happening more often, especially in late season.
Jennifer Francis is a senior scientist at Woods Hole Research Center, a climate change think tank. Jennifer, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Anytime.